need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497. Anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Susie One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs, and connoisseurs, actors and audience, dancers and mood enhancers. I want to meet a professional mood enhancer. I want to interview them. Next show. But tonight. Tonight, brothers and sisters, we are all children of sex, as usual. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Allah, or Brahma Ramadama. But we are all children of sex, with a capital X. And sex is what we talk about here on the Dr. Susan Block Show, broadcasting live from the speakeasy in the soul of downtown LA. Sex in all its many splendored glories and dangers and artistic expressions. Tonight, we are going to be expressing ourselves in an erotic, artistic way that goes back in history a bit. Though everything that's been around comes around again and again, there is that return, the myth of the eternal return. And once again, we are returning to an old-fashioned erotica. At least tonight we are on Radio Susie One. The erotica of your mama, or maybe your grandmama. But it's really still the erotica of today. I mean, I think it's still a turn-on, and it's still exciting. And we kind of have a two-part show tonight, right, Max? Prince Max, how are you doing there?
I'm doing great, actually. How
you
doing,
yeah,
Doc?
You got your good old head mic in your hand.
I got it in my hand, baby.
My Yale husband. I'm wearing my Yale hat tonight,
too. Yeah, I got my Yale husband.
Yeah,
hat.
You know, I sort of am resurrecting my Yale theater background tonight.
Yes, me too.
Yes.
Speaking of my early days in theater, I remember it was very funny. Now I'll tell you the story later.
I should have worn my Yale drama hat, but anyway, I wanted to wear pink. And we are talking about drama tonight. Not the kind that's in your life, Well, maybe it is, actually. I'm sure you can relate. This is about a play, a new play in L.A., and it's a very exciting play by an award-winning playwright with a very sexy and très intéressante actress. And the play is The Erotic Life of Anaïs Nin. Anaïs Nin, that's right. Now some of you are feeling a little excitement already at that name, because you know who Anaïs Nin is. Some of you know that she is one of the foremost writers of history, really. And certainly a groundbreaking erotica writer and a revolutionary diarist. All kind of sexy stuff. And she was a very sexy woman as well. Sort of wrote a lot about the 1930s. I guess this is 1930s era, but, you know, lived longer than that, 40s, 50s, 60s. Very interesting, amazing woman that influenced moi, okay, tremendousement, okay, so in college and everything, and, you know, just had a lot of influence on a lot of people's lives, mostly women, I guess, but there's a lot of men that just love Anaïs Nin.
Guys, too.
Guys, too, right, huh? She's a sexy dame, right? You know,
damn right.
That the girlfriend can relate to. Before I keep going, I want to introduce my guests who are ladies first, the star of The Erotic Life of Anaïs Nin, and that is Sonia, I have to look down at my notes here, Maslovskaya. Maslovskaya?
That is correct. Sonia Maslovskaya.
Maslovskaya. I think I need a drink of water after that. Welcome to Radio Suzy One.
Thank you.
Can I just call
Pleasure.
You Sonia?
Absolutely.
Or how about if I call you Anaïs?
That's even better.
Oh. Yes. Well, welcome. And I want to also welcome the playwright, the thief in the night of Anaïs's whole everything. Personality, you know, but, you know, also her legacy writer and a very worthy one, award-winning playwright, Michael Phillips. Welcome to Radio Suzy One.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you very much.
So, how do you think Anaïs Nin would feel here at the Speakeasy?
I think she'd love it here. I really do. I mean, it just seems to be her kind of place.
Well, I created it for her, really, with my husband, you know, who created it for her. And Henry. I mean, really, they were a huge influence on me as an individual, and then again on our relationship. That's how powerful they are to us personally. I guess both Anaïs and Henry, and June also. It's a threesome. It's a threesome. One of the first movies that we saw as a couple was Henry and June. You know, and God, did that get us going on. We were like acting out all the scenes.
It was an extremely hot movie, was it not?
Whoa, was it? It was great. And
first NC-17
movie? NC-17, right.
Yeah, first one. Mm-hmm. Luckily not the last, but the first.
But I had already been reading her diaries when I was, you know, a kid. I just gobbled them up, even though they're all kind of expurgated. This edition that I have, which is a very old edition. You like this one?
Mm-hmm. I have the same one.
You do?
I do.
Wow. But you got it at an old bookstore. I think I got mine when it came out. But anyway, this is just a tremendous, revelation to a young girl.
Indeed.
You know, that you can have these thoughts and spread them out, and it's just beautiful. And then Delta Venus came out. I'm sure it came out before that, but it didn't come to me.
Yeah, the erotica came out first, but the diaries... She actually didn't want the diaries to be released until her first husband, Hugo, had died for obvious reasons, if you read the diaries.
Yes. Well, she was very kind. She just didn't want to hurt him.
Absolutely.
More than she has already done so.
But she's such a coquette. I think she was flirting with the public. I think she liked letting it out a little bit at a time. I think it all was according to her plan, although it was also according to her plan to always say she was doing things for other people.
Absolutely. That is correct.
Which I think she did, but, you know, she really knew how to get it going on, that girl did, I think, for the most part. Wow. So you, I got a buzz going on here. Do you hear that, or is it just me in my headphones or in my...
No, I'm not hearing it really. There's a slight one in mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a slight one in mine, but it's not affecting
buzzing,
anything.
Baby. Okay.
Okay. You're okay.
All right. So you don't hear my buzz?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay. No, so it'll just sort of bother me through the whole show, but you won't know about it. Okay. So where were we? Oh, well, I was just saying how much she influenced me, so I'm sure she influenced you, both of you.
Absolutely.
So let's start with the playwright in this case.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I found fascinating about her is that she actually lived in L.A. She lived in Silver
Lake.
And a lot of European writers have done that sort of thing where they move from Europe and they start off in New York and it just doesn't quite fit correctly. And they end up in L.A. and suddenly they just start writing and writing and writing. And I came here, the same thing started to happen to me, and I stumbled over her house and I took it as a sort of sign, if you will. I had seen the movie as well back when it first came out, Henry and June. And the one thing that struck me was that she was really... reactive in the movie. She didn't really propel things. She sort of just sort of, the way they propelled her, the way they showed her in the movie. And having read the diaries, I realized that wasn't quite it. You know, she's much more active in her own life, you know.
Yes, my microphone is now out, I think, or something's out, yeah.
Second. We got a microphone problem with her. I'm talking. Okay, so now we're going to fix this microphone problem in a second here. What is going on? Talk. Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Why don't you ask my guest a question?
Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hand you this.
Oh, here I am. I'm back.
You're back. Okay.
Oh, I'm
sorry
back.
About that.
Okay.
I'll take full responsibility for that.
It was his fault.
I'm so sorry.
You just wanted to keep talking.
I'm English. That's what we do.
Yeah. But, you know, yes. I mean, she was so feminine in the way that she orchestrated things to work in just the kind of theatrical way she liked, I guess. I mean, it's sort of an indirect, you know, some people might say passive-aggressive, but in a good way. You know, I think in a good way.
Yeah.
But she got she instigated people a lot, and she loved to be surrounded by theatrical people, aside from Hugo, it seemed, like,
yes.
Who was, you know, the money, I guess, you know. I mean, and a very cool guy, I guess. I don't know, did he play the bongos or something?
he ended up doing weird movies in New York in the 40s.
Very surrealistic guy.
That's a cool guy, but she always makes him seem like the straight guy.
Absolutely.
You know, he's kind of the boring
the
Dean banker.
To her, yeah. Jerry Lewis, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think of him as the boring banker that, you know, she had to marry so that she could support all of her crazy artist
friends.
He
was the enabler.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So how about you? How did you get influenced by Anaïs?
Well, strangely enough, I didn't know much about her until a few years ago. I was with a friend in Boston. I used to live in Boston. And a friend of mine, Sandra, was having a conversation with me, and we were exchanging some love stories and travel stories, and she said, you know what, you really remind me of Anaïs Nin. And I
really
said, really, I don't know much about her. So we walked together to a Harvard bookshop, and I picked up a couple of her books, Erotica, and a couple of her diaries, and started reading, and I became absolutely fascinated by her. And as I was reading the diaries, not only was I intrigued by her complex personality and the erotic nature and very feminine nature of Anaïs,
mm-hmm.
but the parallels between her life and my life were very interesting.
Mm.
I would not dare saying that I'm like Anaïs Nin, but there are a lot of very interesting parallels in the way she expresses her thoughts and her relationship with her family, with her lovers, her outlook on life, and I... found this very interesting internal connection with Anais. So
I have to ask, are you having sex with your dad?
I have to say publicly, no.
Okay.
Well, especially because he'll be listening to the show later.
Right.
So.
Okay. And are you married to a banker?
Not yet.
Okay.
If there's any spare bankers in the LA area, please do come to see the show. I'm sure we can set you up to get married.
But you've fallen in love with starving novelists.
Kind of.
Okay. Well, so you were, you. That's interesting that you met Anais through someone telling you that
yes.
you look like her and yes. you seem like her, and you do. You have, I must say, you do seem like her. Not that I don't think I've ever met her in person, I guess. When did she die?
78.
I didn't meet her. But there's been movies of her, and, mm-hmm. and then the movies made, the Philip Kaufman movie had a woman in it that seemed like you. What was her name, the actress?
Maria de Medeiros.
Oh, there, you know it. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what happened to her? Is she doing other things?
She's doing very artful things.
Artful things?
Yes.
Well, that's like an Anais.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you're standing there expectantly, Linda. Linda has a call. I want to see who this is before I take it. Oh, Imtiaz. Right. He was Twittering to me today. He finally got himself on Twitter because I have boycotted Facebook because Facebook is fascist. And Anais Nin would support me on this.
and we need to talk about that.
Yes, 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 yes. The fascism of Facebook that bans not pregnant, but nursing women and the marijuana symbol and and myself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so now I've become a Twitterite, total crazed Twitterite.
Some of their seed money is actually guys from the CIA. So, you know.
Yeah.
I actually got suspended on Facebook once for being for being too social.
Too social.
Too social. They said you send too many messages and you answer
there
too many
you
things.
Go,
I was
you
like,
know?
Oh, too social for a social network.
For a social media site.
Wow.
Where are you coming from, guys? What are you about?
That's
There's
amazing.
Some weirdness
That's pretty
going on there. I think they're lizard people running that thing.
Probably so.
Yeah.
I feel like
anyway,
I can believe that.
Twitter just seems more free. You can just say whatever you want. It's just got to be under 140 characters.
Which, as a writer, there's no way I could ever.
Oh, come on. It's a haiku. And you can go one piece after another. Some great
That's
writers,
true.
they write a novel.
Somebody did
in
write
Twitterite.
A novel in Twitter,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and they you just have to keep your phrases down.
But with my dyslexia, I think my Twitter account would get down to like one person reading it after about the fourth. You know, to be like, I don't know what he's trying to say.
No, I'll be your Twitter friend.
Okay. You're on.
You
okay.
got one, Mike.
All right, so I want to hear your reading. Should we keep Imtiaz listening for a while? Tell Imtiaz to listen for a while. And we're going to have one reading from something. Tell Imtiaz he's going to listen, and then we're going to put him on to talk. So tell him, don't get impatient. Because he did write to me today that he has been, you know, researching Anais Nin just for the show.
Oh,
and is now in love with her, of course.
Wonderful.
It doesn't take long.
No.
You know, you don't, you really just have to get a glimpse, a taste. And you fall in love, I think. Most people, not everybody.
I did.
Yeah.
I certainly did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's being told that. So now let's set the stage for this little excerpt that you're going to do from this play called The Erotic Life of Anais Nin that is premiering
September 10th at the Sherry Theater in North Hollywood.
There you go.
Except don't come on the 10th because we're completely sold out. So start coming on the 11th. So September 11th.
Celebrate September 11th.
And it runs for 6 weeks. So get your tickets quickly. They're selling quickly, though.
And you have a website, right?
We do have a website. It's Reel, that's R-E-E-L, alchemyproductions.com. And there's a blog there. There's tons of pictures of Sonia. There's a special thing you can join to get some special gifts. It's a fabulous website.
A special thing.
A special thing to join.
I like
we
that.
Call we'll leave it at that.
We call it the Bohemian Circle, but I like special thing better.
All right, so let's hear a little special thing.
This comes from a piece in the play where Anais is telling Henry about her first extramarital affair.
Now, first, before you go into this, this is your writing.
This is my writing. I had to sink into becoming Anais. I do take some pieces, little pieces here and there from her diaries, but almost all of it is my writing. But I would like to say it was Anais writing through me, actually.
Okay, like God writes through me sometimes.
Absolutely.
Right. So, I understand.
God abandoned me a long time ago.
You absorbed her, you read a lot of her stuff, and you felt her in different ways, like in Silver Lake and stuff. And then you wrote this.
Absolutely.
In what you feel is her voice.
Well, the hardest thing was writing as a woman, because, you know... those of you who are listening on radio can't tell, but I'm not. So it was. I hope maybe they can tell, but
Never can tell on this show.
Never can tell. Well, as my mum will be listening, the answer is I am actually not a woman, not yet, mum.
Show's not over yet.
That's true. So I had to learn how to write as a woman, and that was my biggest obstacle coming towards this.
And what a woman.
If I'm going to pick a woman to write, you know, pick one of the best.
Yeah, a very feminine woman, and yet a powerful woman. So, here we go.
When he puts his arms around me, I murmur, "You must stop." At his first hesitant kiss, I turn away. But his fourth or fifth, I begin to respond. He was attractive in an odd, intense sort of way. But I could not understand what he saw in me, the serious little girl of a woman. I answer his kisses, and I begin to feel as if I'm drunk. Drunk from the warmth of his tongue, from the fullness of his sensuous mouth. I get up suddenly, pushing him away. I must go home now. For me, it cannot be without love. He laughs at me, grabs me, pulling me to him, biting my lips, my neck, my ears, and I love his fierceness. I can feel him pressing his hardness against me, and I'm repulsed by his animalness, and at the same time, his fierceness attracts me. And at the very last moment, as his hand is searching under my dress, I push him away, almost not wanting to, and I leave. I knew I would go back to him, to discover which man was real, the editor or the writer. But his actions are devoid of true feelings or of imagination, and I detest him. I avoid his kisses now. And yet, he was an amazing kisser, an expert, if you will. No kiss missed its mark, each a promised prelude. Why should I deny myself this pleasure? My curiosity for sensuality has been stirred. I have always been tempted by unknown pleasure. I lie down with him. His kisses become more ardent, his hands deft, searching, pleasing. I try to escape again, but too late. Then I tell him the truth. I have woman's troubles at the moment. We can't. He laughs at me before saying, "There are other ways." He pulls his trousers down. His penis is rigid, angry-looking. He forces me to my knees and offers it to my mouth. I get up as if he had struck me with a whip, appalled. "I warned you, I'm inexperienced." He sneers at me. I thought that was a lie. With your sophisticated face and your passions... He tells me stories about what the whores of Paris will do willingly with him. And I'm interested and horrified and guilty. And I think to myself, you don't know what sensuality is. Hugo and I do. It's in us, not in your devious practices. It's in feelings, in passion, in love. And that was the only moment that I thought about Hugo that night. But then I see that this is all really my fault. This man was aroused because I let him. I made promises that I did not keep. So I let him take me. I lay down and without passion spread my legs and let him release inside me. Out of pity. And I think he sensed it. For as soon as he was done, the very second he climaxed, he turned away from me. Ashamed.
Bravo, brava. Beautiful.
Thank you.
That was great. Beautiful. Very nice. I really love the way you read that.
Thank you.
You have a voice like church bells, and yet you're talking about rigid penises. It's great. And spreading your legs. I mean, and it's great the way you have combined, Michael, the diary voice with the erotica mm-hmm. voice, because I don't know if she combines it so much.
In the newer versions of the diary, the ones that have come out fairly recently, they're a lot hotter.
Yeah, maybe yeah, so.
So, you know, that was always in her. I always think that, like, you know, you can't just sit and write erotica. You have to have it in you.
So she had to have kept those back. That was she kept yeah. those back with the Hugo excuse.
Actually, they weren't released until after she died.
After she died?
Yeah.
Oh.
The first ones came out after Hugo died. And
gotcha.
Then,
oh, all these yeah. layers
yes.
to her. My.
One of my favorite Annie stories is the fact that for many years, she was married to two husbands, one on the West Coast and one on the East Coast. Can't do that anymore because of Twitter and Facebook, but back then, apparently, you could. And she had all her friends had to buy into this lie and keep it. That was part of your agreement in being a friend with her, that you couldn't tell either husband that there was another one
right.
on the other.
Two husbands. Do you have two husbands? Is that something you identify
I'm
with?
I'm not going to admit that,
oh,
even
right.
if I
okay.
do.
Okay, right.
But
right,
I think
right.
that they both knew. They both knew, and they kind of played this game with her that they pretended that didn't know.
Yeah.
But I think they both knew.
Spoken like a niece. Well,
right.
well done. Thank you.
Right. That would make sense that they would know, because they're not stupid.
No.
And she led such a public life. I mean, with both of them,
very
in a way,
so,
you
yes.
know. And it was before internet, of course, but still, you know, it was the same country here on one coast and the other. And she has these two husbands. Amazing. Well, anyway, that was a great reading. And I want to go back to saying that I did love the way you wove in the emotion of at least the diaries that I read as a kid. And those diaries, you know, really give you the inner workings of a woman and the ambivalence. But then the rigid penis. I mean, the diaries wouldn't have the rigid penis in them, you know, which I always missed. I always went, where's the rigid penis?
I too, have occasionally
well,
missed
Rupert
the rigid
Pohl,
penis.
Well, Rupert Pohl, the second husband, he actually edited the diaries. So I think that he cut certain things out of it.
Ah, right. Okay. Cut out that rigid penis. See, that's hurting already. A lot of guys out there. But in any case, yeah, this is beautiful. It ties a lot of her feeling together. You know, the ambivalence she had, too, about any sexual encounter, really. I mean, you know, really enjoying it and really feeling guilty and just tying in all these... which is the way a lot of people are,
yeah.
but we don't express it.
The whole play, I love the word that you use, ambivalence, because the whole play is really essentially about that triangle relationship between Henry, June, and Annie East, and
right.
and this sort of ambivalence, but yet caring. It's that duality that I've always found interesting, and I hope...
Well, that's certainly there in the triad of Henry and June uh-huh. and Annaïs, but it's even there just in Annaïs.
Yes, absolutely.
Because she's just always struggling with, am I a good little wife and sitting there in Louvicien, you know, taking care of the banker's house, or am I just this wanton woman and you know, she somehow managed to be both, you know, and a feminist of sorts.
Yeah, she was. I mean, she was embraced for a long time by the feminist movement, and then in the 80s, they've sort of started to condemn her, which I find a little odd.
Some of them.
Some of them.
The crazy ones. You know, I think. I
the
mean,
crazy
you know.
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, feminism split off in the 80s into, I would say, the pro-sex feminists and the anti-sex feminists.
Right.
You know, the anti-sex feminists being Andrea Dworkin's and
yeah.
Catherine MacKinnon, and then the pro-sex feminists being me.
Yeah.
Right. So.
And Annaïs.
Yeah. Yeah. The good girls who, when they're bad, we're better. anyway, so yeah, I guess, you know, she's had her controversies, that's for sure. But she has been a tremendous inspiration and just a symbol of beauty to so many people.
And it's strange you say controversy. And the thing, as we both do our research, of course, as a writer, and I'm sure you as an actor do your research.
Absolutely.
And what we found is that we're creating more controversy. It's like a never-ending treadmill here. There's certain places that won't advertise our show because we have the word erotic in the title.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't know about that stuff?
I had no idea.
I didn't expect that all of
Los Angeles, baby.
I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it in the valley. I mean, you know.
I'm not surprised at all.
It's the new fascism has no limits.
It's amazing that we're now in 2010 fighting the same battles that Annie East and Henry Miller certainly were fighting in the 60s.
I didn't expect it on Facebook, okay?
No, that's true.
You know, I mean, Facebook is supposed to be like a worldwide social media site. And anyway, there's censorship everywhere. And, you know, we fight censorship. I'm a censorship fighter.
Yeah.
I'm for freedom of speech, you know, crazy freedom of speech. However, on the other hand, this is the sex therapist in me saying, you know, if we had total freedom, then I would be out of business.
Well, so how about this? Just a little more freedom so I can put my...
Yes.
So you can run your ads.
Absolutely.
Right?
So you can run your ads would be fine. Yeah, I mean, you know, you can keep all the four-letter words out. Exactly. I feel like erotic. I mean, like the Facebook, they shut down my fan page. I had no nudity, nothing explicit. It was suggestive. I don't know.
Well, I suppose that's why they banned our ad.
Yeah, they banned our ad for the same reason.
Facebook.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm compiling.
That's it.
Compiling these grievances. Grievances.
Little miserable sucker up there.
I think they should take it further. I think they should ban anybody who has the name Dick. Or Peter, or...
There you go. Let's do that. Yes, absolutely.
Let's make
them do that.
You know, somebody says, my name's Dick. I can't help but see penis.
Really? I can't either, especially after that reading.
Are there any dicks in here?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's true.
The one thing I do want to say is that it does have a high content of erotica, the show, and I admit it fully, but I can't see how you could write about Annie East without having it there.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got to have it there, and it's great, and it is art. It's art, very artistically woven together, all that you've got there, and, you know, I mean, on the other hand, I totally understand the censorship that you're experiencing, because we experience it all the time, and,
I've experienced some of it myself.
Henry Miller had experiences with censorship, because Tropic of Cancer was published in Paris back in 1934. Thanks to Anaïs and her money.
Yeah.
And in United
Hugo's
States,
money.
And basically, and
point.
Otto Rank's money.
Otto Rank, yes. Ooh, Otto Rank was a very famous, well, he was more famous then. He's sort of still famous, but
a little.
He was a groundbreaking psychoanalyst, mm-hmm. Disciple of Freud. And very difficult to read. That's why nobody mm-hmm. knows who he is, because his writing is mud.
He needed an editor, for sure.
But I guess to be in his presence was, like, you know, very inspiring, because she always was, like, in love with him, among other
she
guys.
She was.
Yeah.
And here in America, Tropic of Cancer was not published until 1961, I believe, due to censorship, because it was called obscene. Due to obscenities.
Right.
So when it was finally published in 1961, it led to a number of court trials that were challenging pornographic laws in America. And finally, the Supreme Court overruled the decision of the Californian court in 1964 and declared that the Tropic of Cancer was a piece of literature and not a piece of pornography. Mm. So that kind of started the whole sexual revolution, I believe. That was a big event.
The first time I actually read that, I was a little kid, and we were very good friends with the CEO of Muzak, mm-hmm. and I lived in Montclair, New Jersey, and on the top shelf, he had snuck all these, smuggled
Henry
all these
Miller.
Henry
they were
Miller
smuggled
books.
From France. Uh-huh.
So I would climb up there, English editions. I would climb up there to get these things, and it changed me. Yeah. Changed me. Anyway.
Well, how fabulous is that, that your illicit sort of material was Henry Miller,
right?
You know, as opposed to Hustler. I think that's fantastic.
Right, right. It changed me. I mean, totally.
There was more censorship then.
Well, we're going back to it, so I'm saying buy up your Henry Miller now while you can still get it.
Absolutely. So is Imtiaz on the line?
Should Imtiaz we have him is on? Still
let's,
on the line.
Let's just give out the number real quick in case someone other than Imtiaz wants to call us. 213-670-0066 is our number anywhere in the world. And if you're in North America, we'll actually pick up the bill. And that's 1-866-289-7068.
Okay, you want to talk
Hello,
to
Imtiaz? Hello, Imtiaz.
Hold on a second. Let me get him on.
How are you?
I am well, Imtiaz. I'm having a wonderful time just wallowing in Anais Nin stuff.
Actually, I read all about her this morning.
You did? You're such a good student of the Dr. Susan Block show.
I can't hear him very well.
I hear him, but he does sound like he's talking out of a tin can.
Yeah. For some reason, usually his voice is great.
Your voice is usually great, Imtiaz. Are you on the speakerphone, or what are you doing?
No, I've got a regular phone.
Okay, that's getting better. It's getting a little better, but... What do we got to do?
You can't hear me properly?
Well, yeah. Can you hear him? I hear him.
Okay, well, you can hear
do you
him
hear
fine.
Him?
I hear
I
him
can
faintly.
Hear
faintly, yeah, yeah.
Okay, speak loudly, Imtiaz. Okay, tell us what you've learned today.
Just having a problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me, Max?
I can hear you a little better now, yes.
So... Okay, that's my voice is now very loud.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So to tell us what you've learned, Imtiaz, or...
Well, you know, what's interesting about Anais is she got married to Rupert Cole in Quad Fight, Arizona on my birthday.
Well, that's very interesting. On your birthday.
On the same year, yes.
On the same year as well, on your birthday.
Yes.
Well, then
on
she is your guardian angel.
On my birthday in Quad Fight, Arizona.
In Arizona, and that's... Yeah. Are you...
that's remarkable.
You were born in that place in Arizona?
No. But on that day, I was born on that day in 1955.
Right.
And she married Rupert Cole in Quartzsite, Arizona particular day.
Right. And you live in Arizona?
Yeah, I've been living here. I go by Quartzsite all the time.
Quartzsite or Arizona.
You should get married on her birthday there. And it's sort
or
of
something.
Like a...
I don't think I want to get married, but nevertheless, I thought it was quite remarkable, quite a coincidence.
He's been married already. Oh. He doesn't want to do it again.
Recovering. Okay.
Yes. All right, well, that's the most interesting personal thing you discovered about Anais Nin. Now say something other people can relate to, Imtiaz.
Well, I like what he said. He said the body is an instrument which gives off music when it's used as a body. Always an orchestra, just as music traverses walls. So sensuality traverses the body, reaches up to ecstasy.
Very nice reading, Imtiaz. Maybe you could do a play.
No, she's a wonderful writer, Susan. She writes, I've read some of the stuff. She writes well, and she's actually a philosopher of sorts.
Yes. Well, you know, one of your trips into L.A., you should come see the play.
Yeah, I heard what he said. And he said it starts in about, approximately 2 weeks from now. But
he being Michael, who's sitting right here, so don't be impolite. Say hello.
Hi, this is Imtiaz.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, very well. How are you?
His voice sounds better now.
Yeah, no, I'm doing great. Yes, do come see it. We're starting about 2 weeks, and we're running for 6 weeks. So.
Yes, I'll try to, because I had heard about Anais, but I never much, you know, gave it much interest till this morning. And then when I read what she wrote and, you know, spread the stuff she has written...
Through Twitter, he found out about it.
Well, I think you'll come and you'll actually see... I think at times, Sonia actually becomes, more than anything else, she is Anais. So it's a great way for you to actually see her in person, in a way.
Oh, I'm sure I'll try to do that. In fact, this month, my holy month ends in about 2 weeks, then I'll be free.
Excellent.
And... then I can Ramzan ends in I think the second week of September, and then
my
I
holy month starts Angeles. next month I think, or something. Oh, Imtiaz, it's so good you have a holy month. Imtiaz is Islamic. Interesting. So there's a lot of beautiful Islamic erotic poetry actually. There's a whole tradition of Islamic erotica. Right, M.T. Oz?
Yes, there is. In fact, I read some of it. You know, Omar Khayyam wrote beautiful stuff. That's mm-hmm. quite erotic.
And I think it's very much in tune with Anaïs's sensibility somehow. Very sensuous.
Very poetic.
And poetic and feminine and full of feelings and ambivalence. Mm-hmm. Lots of ambivalence. Don't you love that ambivalence, Imtiaz? Imtiaz
oh,
is
yes.
full of ambivalence, aren't
and
you?
And I loved Sonia's reading.
Thank you.
She has a beautiful voice.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful. Isn't that a great voice? Gosh, you really sings. Your voice almost sounds like a musical instrument.
Oh, gosh.
It really is
You're
nice.
You're making me blush.
Yes. As red as your blouse.
Another gentleman wrote beautifully. I think his ability to transform is exceptional.
That gentleman is Michael. Say hello.
Michael, I'm sorry, I don't know your name.
I'm quite happy being called that gentleman, master, sir. Any of those will work
for me. Oh, really? We have whips over there in a cage right behind you.
I'm going to tell you, if you have a woman that you haven't slept with yet, but you think you might, and you're not sure, bring her to the show. Because if you have a woman that you haven't slept with and you see the show together and she doesn't fuck you within 24 hours, you're never getting in there, my friend.
With my luck, I'll have no such luck anyway. It's all right.
MTOZ is very ambivalent.
I'm telling you.
But it is a good thing to take a date to. It's definitely a good date.
It's a date show.
Date show. Okay. Well, we want another reading. Can we get another
Absolutely.
One?
Absolutely.
Oh,
with
yes,
pleasure.
We do. Maybe we should say ciao for now to MTOZ because we need to have the sound focused. But stick around, MTOZ, and maybe you're going to want to talk to our burlesque dancers that are on next.
Okay, I shall.
Okay.
But nice talking to you again, Susan.
Nice to talk to you, darling.
And
yes.
Likewise, Max, good to hear from you again.
I'm so glad I could open up the world of Anaïs Nin, the erotic world of Anaïs Nin, to you, MTOZ. I don't know. Okay, so here we go. Another piece.
This, I'll wait a second so I don't kill anybody. There we go. This piece is later in the play, and it is from Anaïs talking to June.
June.
And I think
Henry's wife.
I think that's all I want to say about it. I'll just let Sonia take you on this journey.
In the taxi. To kiss you.
Wait, start again, because we couldn't hear a little of it, okay?
In the taxi, you whispered, I want to kiss you. And I answered, I want to kiss you. And you offered your mouth to me, your lips drawing together in a perfect red, dark, almost blood red O of surprise. And I brushed that first kiss against you. How cool your lips were against my fever, my wanton mouth. And I took you, your kiss, your lips, your tongue, your taste, and I devoured you there in the back of the taxi. I kissed you fiercely, pleadingly, imploringly, and deeply, so deeply our kisses grew that my fever ignited one of your own. Your eyes, those calculating blues, shut. Your head slipped away back against the back of the taxi seat, and I trailed my lips and tongue down your beautiful neck onto your beautiful collarbones. I nipped and bit at your cool white flesh, all the time my fingers searching more nakedness from you, first pulling your dress down, then pushing the cloth up away from your thighs as they spread apart, urging me on. For a moment, I looked up from taking you and caught the eyes of the taxi driver watching in his mirror. He looked away, ashamed, not of what we were doing, not in the beauty of our lust, but ashamed in his enjoyment in being caught. But he melted away, and so did the streets of Paris and the stale cigarette smoke that dulled our senses in the back of that taxi. Even you faded away, dear June. Even you. As I kissed up your inner thighs, your scent grew musty, unlike any perfume I had ever smelled, but just as inviting, more so. And as I flicked across your sex, my tongue, trembling, unsure, your hand snaked into my hair and urged me on, pulling me into you deeper, stronger, harder. I felt you shiver against me, panting in short, sharp breaths, and for a moment, I possessed you. I made you dance. You were my marionette. And then, voila, you were finished. You smoothed your dress, pulled a cigarette from your purse, and asked me for a light. And I was dismissed.
Test, test. Oh, I'm back. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Nothing hotter than a lesbian scene in a taxi. Yeah, yeah. And very, yeah, very much, you know, Anaïs, I could see her in a taxi with June, you know, doing that. I don't know, did she ever do that in a taxi, or did you just make up that that would be a plausible thing?
There's a huge debate. That is my writing. For sure.
Of course.
But there's a huge debate about whether they were sexually intimate or not. And it really divides everybody who in the Annie sort of world. Half of them say that it was just in her mind, and the other half said, no, she did her. And I'm in the did her camp, obviously.
I'm in the did her camp, too. Did her. Did her.
Maybe we should get T-shirts that says did her on it.
I think she was a doer. Yeah, okay. I do. I think so. But, you know, she was ambivalent and she was very secretive, and it's probably not surprising that we don't know. We just don't really know.
And I also think she lived through her imagination, so even if it didn't happen, I think
it happened.
It
even
happened.
If it didn't happen, it happened.
It happened.
Something like that. Anyway, okay. Well, you know, the time of Anaïs Nin, I guess, is like the 30s, 40s time. And that was also a time when another art form was kind of in its heyday called burlesque. I mean, the heyday of burlesque, I don't know, what is the heyday of burlesque? Maybe the 50s is the heyday. But 40s, 50s, kind of. But also, it is another one of those erotic arts that involves a lot of teasing, kind of ambivalence. You know, it's not sure if it wants to be a stripper or an actress, you know, or a dancer or what it is, but or a comedian or something. But anyway, we're gonna have a little burlesque from the La La's. But I want you to stick around, because I think the performance is going to be up here, and then they're going to come into the seats.
Yeah, they're going to do yeah?
You're going to do a little performance. You want to watch the performance with me?
Absolutely,
but
yes.
Before we go to them, just give out again all your particulars, okay?
Yes. The show is called Anaïs, An Erotic Evening with Anaïs Nin, and it runs for 6 weeks, starting September 11th, because September 10th is sold out. And it's at the Sherry Theatre in North Hollywood. And we have a website with all the information on, and amazing blogs, and all kinds of pictures of Sonia. And if you've heard her voice, you definitely want to see her. And
definitely.
Yeah, and that is at Real, R-E-E-L, alchemyproductions.com.
All righty then. Well, we're going to fill it up. I mean, so, you know, get your tickets now. Okay, so we're now, I think, going to have a little burlesque show. What are we doing? Let's have some information, please. Information... Someone come to me with information, and yeah, maybe we'll take a little station identification and
need to talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else. You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves, but my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497. Anytime you need to talk.
Well,
you're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
And here I am, Dr. Susan Block. And so let's bring these burlesque ladies over here, the Law Laws, which I'm very excited about. Let's see, Baby J and Tanya K. Come on over here, ladies. Where are they going? They're going over there, where I can't see them. And what is now on? Okay, so what's on radio right now? Are we playing the music? We're going to play the music, and maybe I'll give a play-by-play of what's going on for our poor radio audience that can't tell what's going on. We've got some burlesque dancers. I'm not sure whether this is Baby J or Tanya K. Can someone let me know? Is this Baby J? Tanya K, I bet. Right? Is this Tanya K? Okay, here we go. And she's beautiful. She's dancing in a cute little baby doll outfit, flipping her hair around a lot, and twisting up her outfit. Oh, I think this is a stripper technique here. Taking off the black sheer baby doll and caressing it and then tossing it away and looking for a reason and flailing about on the couch. Whip that hair, girl. Whip it good. Whip it. Whip it around. She's really getting very friendly with my couch. And the pillow, especially. Oh, yeah, she's doing that pillow. I've heard about girls that do pillows like this. Actually, a few of my clients have talked to me about their pillow masturbation activities.
Test one, two, test.
She's getting hot. She's getting hot. Oh, what's she doing? She's cutting. Uh-oh, are we into cutting here? This is scissors. She's cutting her stockings. Ooh. Well, it's nothing that's, you know, too bloody here, so that's good. As a matter of fact, it's not bloody at all. She's just cutting the stockings. That's very hot, actually. I think I've seen a scene like this in a Lossie Braun film, but ooh, nice. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is a good sort of strip technique here. Just cut it off. Forget about taking it off. Just cut it right off. Yeah, cut big holes in it, girl. Just cut that pantyhose. Cut yourself right out of your clothes, girl. Come on, yeah. That's great. That's how I got to take off pantyhose next time. Beautiful. That's great. The La La's Burlesque. The crowd is excited. We've got a big crowd here at the Speakeasy enjoying. And now, is this Baby J? Can somebody tell me? Who? This is your Baby J. This was just Baby J that we saw, and now we're going to see Tanya K. Tanya K. Yes, is showing us a tape measure. Is she going to see if we measure up? Okay, boys, start pumping. Tanya K is after you with her measuring tape. She's going to see if you measure up. Oh, she's measuring up right there. Yeah. She's got a tool chest here. And she's got some tools, okay? She's going to putty. Not sure what this tool is, actually, but she's beautiful. Oh, it's for shaving. It's a shaving tool. Right. Is she going to shave? Wow. She doesn't look like she needs to. That girl's smooth. Smooth. Mmm. Yeah. She's just mesmerizing the speakeasy. I like those rubber boots. Oh yeah, she's just playing with her tool here. Mm-hmm. And what's going on with this blue work shirt here? Blue work shirt staying on, but the shorts are coming down, down, down. Ooh. Little strip. Nice legs, girl. Nice whole body, girl. Yeah, oh, look at this. She's dressed kind of like a Barbarella or something. Yeah. A superhero. But very skimpy superhero. Very, very skimpy. A G-string with, like, a shield? I know. She's Hardware Girl! She's gonna drill, baby, drill. Saw? What is it? Whoa! Whoa! She's shooting sparks all over the speakeasy! Seriously. Yo, that's like a saw, I guess. Yeah, shooting sparks. Yeah, yeah, okay. She is a human firecracker. I was wondering where we were going with this. Now I see. Totally, yeah, shoot 'em, girl. Wow. Shoot those sparks. Yeah. Yes. Let's hear it for Tanya Kay. Beautiful. That was quite a trick. Very impressive build-up, you know. I was wondering, what was she going to do with those tools? Thought maybe she'd do some drilling. Yeah, very good. Very good. Thank you very much. Let's hear it for the La-La's Burlesque. Yeah. Okay, get yourself some headsets. And you want to sit down now? Yeah, you want to sit down and talk? Here, come on up here. Come on, sit down. Take your seats and your microphones. Now I'm going to put on my burlesque shirt. That was my Anaïs lace. Now it's feather time. Woo! This is my burlesque outfit here. You guys are great. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was total fun. This is Erin. First Hello. Of all, you're the manager.
I am.
Yeah, you don't
producer.
Get up there. Oh, you choreograph, but you don't get up there?
I do not.
Why not? You're cute. You
so
look
much
like
to do on the back end of it. I love it.
The back end. Ooh, yeah. You're a back end woman. Mm-hmm. Well, okay then. And now we have Baby J.
That's me.
Baby J. Mm-hmm. Baby.
Hi.
Hi. I like what you were doing to my couch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how I'm going to take my pantyhose off
you
in the
should.
Future. Yeah. That's a good
should.
Way. Yeah. But you go through a lot of them that way.
I do.
Yeah. But it's
but
fun.
It's, fine.
It's worth it.
It is.
It's worth
I
it for
a
the
good
thrill.
Pair of hard scissors.
Yeah. That was fun. And we have, also, we have Tanya Kay.
Hi.
Hi. Great. This is such a hot outfit, and it also serves as a fire starter. Yeah, that's great.
I like to bring
you
the
camping.
Danger.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah. That was fun. So let's start with you. Where did you, how did you come up with this act that you just performed for us?
You know, there's not a lot of women who do this, probably because it's so dangerous.
Really?
Yeah, it's a really stupid act to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, the blonde thing, okay.
But I like the danger.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
And did you choreograph this for her, or did you come up with this?
No, Tanya, I do not take the props for that. That is all her.
You came up with this.
Yeah, it's about
tool time.
About the things we do to ourselves as women to find perfection, and the development of one's own womanhood.
Yes. Well, we do a lot of things. I've never seen a woman do that, though. You know, like make her. I mean, a lot of women. It's a beautiful image, though. Sparks going off of your crotch. You know, I mean, they say that squirting is great because you see the water coming out, but the sparks is in a way better because it looks like you're having an orgasm in a very ethereal way, maybe if you're on ecstasy or something. But it does look really hot. I mean, to say the least, I was impressed by that. Does it feel like anything on the vulva here?
It's really nice.
Is
actually,
it?
Yeah.
It's got a nice sensation.
It's really nice. You can feel the vibration.
You could do a workshop in this for women.
A workshop. And there's a lot of intensity because the concentration to stay safe while you're doing it is putting all of your focus into the tool that you're using. And it gets burning hot. Burning hot. And as the sparks shoot off, those are little ignited pieces of metal.
Yeah.
And they invariably hit my skin before they fly any further.
Oh, are they flying around the room? I mean, should check the window? Wow. And so, do you do that, like, in your personal life?
I had to learn it somewhere.
Really? No. You did that. You developed that as an act. But, I mean, do you do kind of crazy things like that for fun?
Yeah.
You do. You're kind of an adventurer.
I'm an adventurer.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I bet you've done the cutting of the stockings for fun.
I like to cut a lot of things.
You cut a lot of things. What else do you cut?
All pieces of clothing.
Clothing. Okay. I'm glad you're not cutting people.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah. I do other things for people.
Okay, well, you never know these days. I mean, we have all types on here. So, we're glad we clarified that. So you like to cut clothes off. It's very sexy. It's very sexy, but, you know, then the clothes are ruined. I keep thinking about that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a pair of stockings.
Yeah, no, that's and you've got a whole thing going there with cutting your clothes off. Yeah. And so how did you all get together and start dancing and burlesquing?
It's all through Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Because of me.
And what is your inspiration?
I'm a dancer as well, and I just like to surround myself with people that are smarter than me. So
smarter.
That are better than me, you know. And I've worked a lot, and I've, you know, paid due diligence, and I started a group, and I've met these girls through auditions, through dance, through choreography, through gigs in LA, and it's turned out to be this fantastic group of women who come from all walks of life, and they come out and they wow audiences every week. So,
tell me what burlesque means to you.
Burlesque to me is it's this sexy, you want every girl to want to be you when you're on stage, and you want every guy to fuck you while you're on stage. Can I say that?
Is
that
right?
Yeah.
I just did. I sure did. You know, it's so powerful to be out there and to be so confident to take all of your clothes off almost and to leave them almost wanting a little bit more. You know, and that to me, that is what all of these girls have. That's what the Lalas have. You know, every audience, every person that watches us, and these girls, they are phenomenal, and they are just wowed by how turned on or how, you know, they might not be that type of girl, you know, from up front, but then they perform and everybody wants them. And that is sexy. That's burlesque.
I mean, what now? Burlesque is somewhere in between a strip club and a play, I guess.
It is. And, you know, burlesque is that just, it, you know, turning it into a little bit of art, turning it into like a talent, turning it into like a little bit of a more of a tease. You know what I mean? For these girls, you know, they're not they're not stripping down to everything, but they're leaving a little bit of a secret, which is why they keep coming back to the show.
Well, a strip club, I guess regular strippers, yeah. I mean, they're teasing in a way because they're not
Absolutely.
Having sex with you.
True.
You know, even if they take it all off, they don't, like, do it all.
True.
You know, so there's levels, but this is a certain level. I mean, burlesque is the level of what? I mean, let's define. Is it bikini level, or is it topless?
On a completely separate level, it's the plainness factor. I like to call it face fucking, but it's just the playfulness of it. It's the art of the tease.
Face fucking. Yeah. Wait a second. That could mean a lot of things.
I totally can.
She's really good at it too.
She is.
What is face fucking for you?
Just captivating the audience, playing with them, teasing with them.
Just capturing their faces.
Exactly.
I see. Okay. It's
and
not
it could
like
be a simple,
sitting on their faces.
It could be as simple as just no. That's a whole nother
Well,
level.
That's a kind. Yeah. Queening, you know, face fucking. Okay, never mind.
I mean, it could be as simple as just capturing
the
a
face,
glance
their eyes.
And just captivating them.
Yes.
And holding them, making them wonder what you're going to do next.
You've captivated my glance. Look
I
at me.
See.
I'm just looking. I can't stop looking at you. Okay.
But it's playing with that. And so it's very theatrical in my, you know, connotation of it.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the play of it and the tease. The art of the tease and
the art of the tease. Dita Von Tease. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a burlesque
Absolutely.
Performer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But she takes it all off. Well, she kind of takes it all off in at different times.
Absolutely.
I've seen all the parts of her body, but not at the same time.
But I mean, just simply rolling down a stocking for her, you know?
It's yes.
It's so fun, and you're just drawn to it.
We had Dita Von Tees on this show when she was 19 years old, or 18,
really?
I think. When I had Betty Page on. I had Betty Page on the phone. She wasn't here in person because, you know, she didn't want to show herself because she felt like she wanted people to remember her visually as she was. But she was on the phone, and her handler said she would be on for 5 minutes, but she was on for an hour. And she had a great time. She was talking in that southern accent of hers. I mean, she did everything. She did all kinds of things. But, yeah, and Dita was there. It was an amazing evening. But anyway, no, what is your meaning of burlesque?
I think it's the art of the reveal.
The reveal.
The reveal. So it's not just the art of the disrobe. It's the art of the reveal. And in order to have a reveal, you, A, have to take something off, and, B, you need to make it a tease. You need to make it an alluring moment, something surprising, something captivating. That's the art of it, so that you can do a reveal.
Mm.
And I go to pasties and thong most often. You Ooh. Know, my reveal is like
reveal
as far as burlesque usually goes, you know? But I've also seen people take an entire 5 minutes to reveal their bare naked hand and then run that finger through their hair.
It's like the art of undressing, taking that
yeah.
whole undress, stripping really, but doing it very slow. And well, like Gypsy Rose Lee said, anything worth doing is worth doing slowly. There's that. I don't know if anything worth doing is worth doing. You know, but yeah, I mean, certainly undressing is a seductive thing. It's. I think it was, they did a survey somewhere, and other than just plain old-fashioned sex, what people said was the most erotic thing was watching someone attractive undress. So,
it's
there
powerful.
You have it. It is. It's a powerful thing, that undressing thing. And I want to ask you all how you feel about kind of being in the middle. I mean, in a way, our previous guests who did this play, a beautiful play, the Anaïs, erotic life of Anaïs Nin, they're kind of in the middle, too. They're not in the porn world, but they have the word erotic in their title. And it is, you know, they're talking about penises in their in this beautiful, just very artistic monologue, but still, there's the penis, just like standing at attention right in the middle of the monologue going, hi, I'm a penis, hello. I make this monologue not Shakespeare suddenly, or even though Shakespeare might have appreciated it. But, you know, it's like, how do you feel about being not quite just children's fair and not quite X-rated? Who wants to start?
It's a delicious line to walk.
It is.
It's delicious. Okay, there's the positive side.
Gives us the maximum amount of room, to play.
Well, you can look at it that way. Yeah, it does. I mean, I'm kind of in there too, I guess. I'm sort of in between worlds myself.
For me, it's as the creator, producer, choreographer, workhorse of the entire group. Because there's about five more of these ladies that you haven't seen yet.
Oh, you have and, them back there?
Yeah. Huh. There's about five more. But for me, it's the actual fact that, you know, you put all this work into a show.
Yeah.
You watch the show. And I can't wait for them to take the clothes off. It is so, it's such a powerful, like, anxious, I'm on the balls of my feet, like I'm just like craning to see, you know, like through the crowd, like just to watch them do that. Because you know that they're just characters, and then when the show's done and we have a cocktail and call it a day, you know, but to have them transform to what they are now and to what they are on stage, it is a phenomenal thing to watch, and that's kind of why I do what I do.
And burlesque dancers are the empowered women. You know, women come to see our show and they fucking love us.
Right. Do you have what's and the percentage of male, female?
Half and half.
Half and half.
And the loudest people in the audience are the women.
Yep.
And that's really nice. We're not, I don't know how we do it, but we do. We maintain that we're not objects. We're not degrading ourselves whatsoever. We're like empowering ourselves by becoming more vulnerable and showing more of our nudity if we do it with this class and a personality and a
great
character.
Choreography.
And great choreography.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you do have a lot of great choreography and a lot of ingenuity. Do you think that strippers are, you know, regular strippers who... You know, yeah, they don't have all those kind of fancy moves, I guess. They have other moves. But do you think they're degrading themselves?
It depends on, you know, the person. But yeah. I do feel that there is a huge difference between, and this doesn't just happen in the strip club, but working for tips and working for pay. So what happens to my personal performance when I work for tips is something completely different than when I know I've been paid and I step onto stage.
So when you know you've been paid, you're more or less doing just what you think is best.
Yeah.
Just what you feel, what comes out of you. And when you're doing it for tips, you're doing it for that one person.
Give me something.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little more hookery there.
I was actually hired to train and choreograph for a stripper.
Yeah.
Who was doing a burlesque pole competition that was through all, if it was for a chain of strip clubs or nationwide. And she was going for the crown of Miss.
Right.
Blah, blah. And she'd never danced a day before in her life. She'd never done a pole trick before in her life. And it had to be a 10-minute number.
Wow.
And I said, listen, I'm like, these girls are going to come here. They're just going to do tricks. They're going to take their clothes off. There's going to be no performance magic whatsoever. Let's put a show together for you. And we did it. And she went on to win the title.
Wow.
So, but that's just the power
good
of the
you.
Art of the play, though.
The performance.
Uh-huh. The performance, the play.
Well, just, you did a good job, too.
Oh, thank you. But it's just, that's the magic of it. Because you can do tricks after tricks, but people get bored by that. Unless you do something to draw an audience in. To make them feel connected to you.
Now, do you always do one at a time, or do you do two at a time?
We usually do groups. I mean, we kind of mix up our show depending on if we usually have like a 45-minute show, and you know, it's groups, it's solos, it's duos, it's three at a time, it's, you know, everybody on stage, that kind of thing. So we kind of mix it up.
Yeah, and so where do you all come from?
I'm from Michigan.
I'm actually fourth generation LA.
I grew up in Michigan.
Did you meet in Michigan, you
nope,
two?
No.
No, you just
met on a job.
Just
really cool,
to
talented
each other.
People. Yeah.
Cool people are from Michigan. Right. And
some
you're from LA many generations.
Yep.
Wow. And so did you want to be a burlesque dancer when you were young, or is this something that evolved?
Completely evolved. I mean, in this town, you find as a dancer, there's a lot of burlesque-oriented work out there.
I'm glad you said oriented.
And so,
good girl.
So you know, you
instead of orientated. Mm-hmm. I don't like that word, orientated. It's not a word. Right. No, I'm serious. People use it all the time. Supposedly educated people. It is good not a word. They're going to make it a word one day, but anyway.
It's the Asian.
No, you're very precise. That was good. Orient. Okay.
And you know, you work
as it's got nothing
work.
To do with the Orient, by the
exactly.
way.
So, you know, you'll do a job, especially as you're starting out, and you'll be like, oh, it's burlesque, and it kind of gives you a taste for it, but, you know, the more you do, the more you learn about it, and meeting Aaron, and being with the Lalas, then you really find out, you know, what burlesque really means.
Well, there's a movement now in the world of women who are good girls expressing their sexuality one way or another. In different ways, I guess, and I don't know if this is even precedented, if there's been a movement like this before. I mean, we were talking about Anaïs Nin earlier, and she was way ahead of her time. And by the way, she wasn't just, not that it's a just, but a writer, but she was a dancer. She was a flamenco dancer, a really accomplished dancer. I think she even was a professional dancer. She danced a lot, and her dad was a musician. And she was an extraordinary woman. And now there's so many extraordinary women who are dancing and blogging and being all erotic. I mean, you know, getting out there with their, you know, their steel G-strings and making sparks fly. You know? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's remarkable. I mean, I guess that's what this show has kind of become in a way lately, is a parade of fantastic, extraordinary women expressing their sexuality with an occasional guy thrown in there. You know, every once in a while we let a guy on, but I guess that this is about women expressing their sexuality, and like you say, I mean. You know, the strip clubs, there are women that like to go to strip clubs. I've enjoyed going to strip clubs occasionally, but I think it intimidates a lot of women. It's just so sexual. It's so, you know, titties in your face. But women do love the energy of erotic dancing, of sexy movement, and it inspires them. It lets them feel like, oh, I can do that too. Maybe not exactly that, you know, with the sparks flying, but I could cut up my friggin' pantyhose, you know. I can do that. I mean, you know, but not as well as you, but I still could, you know. It's very inspirational, I think, to a lot of women that would feel uncomfortable in a strip club.
That's the comment I get more than any after the show, is mm-hmm. women coming up to me and saying, I want to do that. Oh, I could never do that. Ooh, I wish I could do that. Mm. And I'm thinking to myself, what is that? And that's, right. You know, be sexually self-expressed.
Well, do they have burlesque schools? I mean, I would think that could be a big business.
There's classes. There's
classes. Okay.
That kind of touch upon it. And of course, depending on the class, depending on the teacher. But it's up to every woman.
Well, I think one of you should teach, like, horny housewives, you know, who aren't going to ever do it professionally, just to do burlesque.
It has been coined, though, as your inner Lala.
It is.
Your inner Lala.
Absolutely. There's a couple prudish kind of people that just flew to Vegas after our show, and I heard of afterwards, and they're like, you know what? We saw that. We loved it. Let's go fucking party.
Yeah.
Wow. they released
that makes me feel awesome.
Liberate your inner Lala.
Absolutely.
We often say liberate your inner bonobo here on the Dr. Susan Block Show. Do you know about the bonobos?
No.
The bonobos are the make love, not war chimpanzee. They're great dancers, by the way. They're kind of constantly burlesquing each other. They're 98% genetically similar to humans, very close to us. And unlike common chimps, who are also close to us, they've never been seen killing each other in the wild or captivity. They're very peaceful, and they seem to have established peace through having lots of sex. and not just sexual intercourse. In fact, they don't have sexual intercourse all that often, but lots of what we might call burlesque and foreplay and rubbing and playing. I mean, they don't wear clothes, so they can't take them off, but they rip leaves up a lot and rub them against each other, you know. And they're just they're highly endangered, so we're trying to save them, and they're an inspiration to us because they have they found a way to use erotic exchange to diffuse violent tension. So we say liberate your inner bonobo, but I like liberate your inner la-la. I think that's a good one, too.
It's a hook, yeah.
And how did you come up with the name The La-Las?
That was my maiden name before I became a married woman.
What? Your name is La-La?
Well, it's Lamont, and La-La just kind of infused itself, and so I had to think of something quickly on a dime. So Lala.
Oh wow, that's like a natural. I mean that's so cool. It's your name. It's almost like Imtiaz being born when Anais married Rupert. I mean that's really a great coincidence. You have a good name for that. Okay, so the Lalas. I thought it was it's almost like it was made for burlesque. So now where do you perform? Where are you performing soon?
Ooh, next week we perform at Bardot on Hollywood and Vine.
Yeah.
Friday, 10 p.m.
Bardot, as in Bridget?
Yes. however, it's above the Avalon. So right in the corner of Hollywood and Vine. So
Hollywood and Vine, okay. Yeah. And what kind of a place is that?
It's an outdoor, it's such a good venue for us because everybody has, it's so sexy, it's so dark, I love it. It's really kind of like sinister and something's almost a little bit wrong with it.
When you walk beautiful.
In. But it's so beautiful. And there's not a bad seat in the house.
So beautiful, perfect venue. Come see the show.
It's in Hollywood and...
Do you have a website? Obviously, you should have.
Yeah, what's the website?
Right? Yeah, you have a website.
It's thelalas.com.
Right.
Easy.
Okay. And
the lalas.com.
Thelalas.com.
That's where I stole their picture.
And you're on Twitter.
We are.
Who does the Twitter? You do.
I do the Twitter.
You do. You got to get more active.
I know.
You have to at me more.
I will.
You do, because after all, I'm on there. I'm at you.
I'm we need to follow each other. I at you too. I know.
We'll do a big follow shout out.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Are you on Twitter also?
I am.
You are? Yeah. Oh, well, we got to follow
they
each other.
They both are.
You're on Twitter also.
Who isn't?
Well, you know,
this twat likes to tweet.
A few people aren't. A few people. This twat likes to tweet. I want to see the dance with the pasties.
Oh, you should come to our show.
Come to the show.
Oh, you're such a tease.
Are
you going to do another dance for us here?
Tonight?
Yeah, tonight.
That's all you get.
That's all we get.
Leave them wanting more.
You have to come to the show.
Did their job.
Okay, all right. Would you like a drink of our sponsor drink?
Would love one.
Yeah, this is Agua Coca Leaf Liqueur. It's perfectly legal, but it is made from the coca leaf.
We love it.
Can't be mad at that.
No. And there's a special ritual for drinking it. Which is that you take the lime salt and you put it on a part of the body. Could be your body or could be your partner's body or some part of the body. And you lick it off like a tequila shot. And then
it's a body shot.
It's a body shot, exactly.
Perfect.
Here you go. So
look
you
at
have
these
to.
Glasses.
I don't know if I can
That's
reach
pretty
over.
Fancy.
Here you go.
Long arms.
You have long arms. There you go. And there we have the little glasses that look just like a shapely woman. Mm-hmm. Agua coca leaf liqueur, and
those
here's
are sexy.
Your salt there. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm on Facebook on Agua here, on the Agua page. I have to get them on Twitter though, because Facebook are fascists.
Well, we're on both.
I don't know if they'd allow you to show a picture of yourself doing the spark act. Probably
yeah, they
not.
Do.
They do?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're doing the sparks coming off your pussy? Okay.
My cod piece.
Your cod piece. That's a very good word, speaking of Shakespeare. All right, so to the La-Las.
To the La-Las.
To a good long run and to a good long run.
You guys
run
are great.
For Anaïs, the erotic life of Anaïs.
Actually, there was someone here in the audience who has been to one of your shows, and they said you were great.
Ooh. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's who told us that? Someone here.
This famous guy, he's a playwright or something.
Oh.
Or one of them.
Our other guest.
One, I think.
Michael Phillips, I think. Was he? Or the other guy that was with him? Or somebody?
It was someone. Someone,
someone liked you. But yeah. We all like you now.
Now we
At
all
least
like
one
you.
Person did.
Just have to come to the show.
We will,
this
I guess.
This was just a teaser.
You are tonight is a lot about teasing, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, next week we're going to have porn stars.
The show people are trying to get you. You got 7 minutes, Doc.
All right, in 7 minutes.
7 minutes.
Tell me about your sexual problems. no, I mean, do you have a boyfriend?
I have a lover.
A girlfriend?
I said lover.
Well, if a lover is a guy, wouldn't it be a boyfriend?
It would be a lover.
A boyfriend is like a piece of furniture stick in the corner and you expect to be there when you get back.
Wow.
Ooh.
But a lover.
Okay, guys.
Hold up.
That's what you expect.
You guys go sit in the corner, okay?
Are you doing? Did you do any of the licking? Did you get the salt?
We did.
Where'd you lick it? What'd you lick?
Wouldn't you like to know?
You're such teasers.
You see, the burlesque people.
Yeah, these are burlesque people. Everything is reveal and conceal and conceal and reveal.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
Jeez.
It is. It is. Okay, are you going to tell me, you're not going to tell me the gender of your lover?
I'm open-minded.
Okay.
Really?
There's your answer. But what does she look like?
My lover is dark.
Ooh.
And chiseled.
Ooh.
Chiseled, that sounds male, I think. Chiseled.
Am I chiseled? Kind of.
Yeah, you are chiseled, actually. You know, so you could be like you. You're pretty chiseled. All right.
Okay.
How about you?
Next.
Baby.
Yes.
Hey, baby. Are you single or are you?
I'm single.
You're single.
I like to mingle.
Do you like girls or guys or trannies or what do you like?
She loves the trannies.
Really?
She loves.
They're really into burlesque, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, not to stereotype, although I guess that's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's a lot of this is about putting on a costume and a mask and playing yourself in a big way. You know, this show, to a great degree, is Commedia Erotica. That's what we call it. And it
Absolutely.
Comes from the tradition of Commedia dell'arte, mm-hmm. which is where I was raised. I was raised with Commedia.
What's the accent?
I don't know. It was in New England, actually. It was just talking about being raised, I guess. I thought I was raised up. But it was in New England, so it wasn't that accent at all. It was more like a when the moon hits your eye with a big pizza pie, that's amore. It was, you know, pizza parlor theater. And we would perform on the New Haven City Green and at Yale.
There's the strip club boys leaving.
Oh, wow.
And their bikes.
Hmm.
Yep.
Vroom, vroom.
Over from Sam's
Brown.
Sam's our neighbor.
We had the Sam's people up here last
week. We had strippers up here last week.
Yeah.
Oh. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't quite as sparkly.
No, not as many sparks, but
sparkly.
Different kind of sparks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got 3 minutes.
Well,
darling girl.
We'll just wind up.
Yeah.
Okay. So, are you single?
I'm married.
You're married.
I am.
I'm married, too.
Really?
Yeah.
How's
to
that
this
going?
Guy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's going great.
That's good.
Great.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I like being married.
I do, too.
I'm a big believer in, you know, kind of free-for-all, and everybody should have all different kinds of relationships and sex, but I am married, and I love being married. So.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Kind of awesome.
Yeah. So how long have you been married?
4 months.
Oh,
of course you love it.
Yeah,
talk to me.
Great. Oh my gosh.
In 10 years. Okay, well, that's cool though. It's good at least to have a good beginning. I mean, that would be a drag if you didn't
He's
have a good beginning.
He's very He's very supportive. Yeah. And, he sees all the shows fan. Before the shows go on.
Baby J approves.
Yeah.
All right.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Does he get to put on the pasties on the girls?
He's on the test to make sure they stay on, yeah.
Ew, test.
What's the test?
How does that work?
The strip down glue test, make sure everything stays on. Dancey
he pulls
dance.
On it?
You got 2 minutes.
Oh, okay.
two minutes.
Right. Well, in the last 2 minutes, let's have my other guests come on over here. Let's have everybody over here. Erotic Life of Anna Easton.
I'm going to open up that mic over here.
Starring Sonia Maslovskaya.
There you go.
Written by and directed by Michael Phillips.
Yeah, you can give it
and,
back.
And here we all are. Let's all say goodnight to our lovely audience. Thank you guys so much. And we're going to see you not September 10th, September 11th. We're going to blow up the theater. You're going to have a great time. You can bring her in to make sparks fly at the end.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It was a great pleasure. A bientôt.
A bientôt.
A bientôt.
And thank you. Thank you. I know, you're a guy, so I sort of go past you too easily. To say Michael
okay.
Phillips.
I get passed over quite often by women, so I'm used to it. So.
Well, you're very gracious about it. It's sweet, and it's a great play, and I can't wait to see it. And I want to thank Tanya Kay and Baby J and Erin Lamont of the La La's Burlesque.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
That's goodbye now.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Thank you, La La Land.
La 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 Land.
I'm finding your hair in La La tonight.
In La La Land. And I want to thank you, my darling listener, for having us in your home, your mansion on a hill, or your cardboard box, wherever you've got your laptop. I want you to be good. I want you to be happy. I want you to try not to hurt anyone, including yourself. Release your inner Lala, or release your inner Anais Nin. Release your inner bonobo. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you. Say you love them.
I love you.
Why are we with
you? I love you, but I really need to get to know you before I can, because I'm English, so it has to be with
you
white gloves. So.
I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience, or a combination. My world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One.